you are the mighty one who created light and sent your Son into a dark world as the one true light, and the light that has brought hope to all of us. And sometimes, God, we try to capture that light and keep it to ourselves. We try to get that light and put it in a jar like a firefly instead of following the example of Jesus, your Son, who told us to let our light shine always and never cover it up, and be the light in times of darkness in our friends and neighbors' life. And so today, we do let our light shine. We let it shine on people who are discouraged and dejected and despondent and disappointed. We let our light shine on those who are being bullied, abused, and disenfranchised. And we let that light of grace shine on all of creation, all the people that you love. We especially remember those who are ill, those who are in need of your healing. We pray fervently for that healing, God, and pledge ourselves to be your light in their lives and bring that healing to them. Lord, we carry your light into this world for all to see what a glorious and wonderful God you are. Amen. Want to take a moment to bring our guests in with us, folks. About a month ago, we started a sermon series for those who love Star Wars, like Star Wars, have ever seen Star Wars. It's a glimpse of how faith and hope, and of course the Holy Spirit, are here to guide us in our lives. Today, we conclude that series by reading this scripture I was talking to the children about. And in that scripture, we have Jesus take the disciples to the mountain. Mountains have always been important in our faith. A large part in the history of Israel, mountains have played. It was a mountain where Abraham proved his faith in the land of Canaan. Abraham went up on a mountain there and was shown all the things that would become the home for Israel. It was on a mountain when Moses encountered God. It was also on a mountain when he got the Ten Commandments and brought them back down to the people. And it was also on a mountain when God revealed God's self to Moses. It was on a mountain when Elijah defeated the prophets of Baal. There have been a lot of mountains in the history of our faith. Jerusalem was built on a mountain. And so today, it's no surprise that Jesus takes three of his disciples up the mountain. Let's read this scripture from Mark's Gospel, chapter 9, beginning with verse 2. 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John, and he led them up a high mountain apart by themselves, and he was transfigured before them. And his clothes became dazzling white, such as no one on earth could bleach them. And there appeared to them Elijah and Moses, who were talking with Jesus. Then Peter said, "Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." The truth is, he did not know what to say because he and the other disciples were terrified. Suddenly a cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud there came a voice, "This is my Son, the Beloved. Listen to him." And suddenly, when they looked around, they saw no one with them anymore, but only Jesus. And as they were coming down the mountain, he ordered them to tell no one about what they had seen until after the Son of Man had risen from the dead. The word of God for the people of God. I'm not sure. I know I was doing a Google search for some information about Star Wars and ran across several interviews that David Letterman had done with different people who had starred in the Star Wars movies over the year when he used to have the show on. And so in honor of that, I have created a top 10 list for you today that I want to share with you. These are the top 10 things you never hear in church, okay? And this is the section where you laugh, and you may laugh. I have never heard anyone in this church say, "Hey, it's my turn to sit in the front pew." Have you ever heard anyone say that? And I've also had never anyone say to me, "You know, Michael, I was so enthralled today, I didn't notice that the sermon was that long." You know, I've never heard anyone say that. And I've never heard anyone say, "You know, I actually enjoyed working on the Habitat House more than playing a round of golf." All right? I never heard anyone say that. I never heard anyone say, "You know that $500 I spend on myself every month, I'm going to start giving that to the church." And I've never heard anyone say, "It's usually," I guess I have heard, I don't, maybe I should not have put this one in, but "whenever I'm looking for volunteers, I've never had anyone say to me, 'Oh, I want to be the first volunteer.'" You know? You guys remember that next time we're looking for volunteers. And I have never heard anyone say, "Ann or David, you know, I really like it when we sing those new hymns I don't know. We do love them, though, after we learn them, don't we?" That's a strange thing. And I've never had anyone say to me, "Since we are all here, let's start the service early. This morning, David couldn't even get your attention to get you guys to come together to start." And no one in any church that I ever served said, "Michael, we voted and we're going to send you to the Bible seminar in Hawaii." No one has ever said that to me. The ninth thing that I've never heard in church is, "I couldn't find space to park outside. Praise God." You guys always come in and tell me, "You know, we need some more places to park," but you don't praise God for that. That's a thing we ought to praise God for, right? And the last thing, the tenth thing that I've never heard in church, I've never said it and I've never heard one of you say it, is, "I find your lack of faith disturbing." I find your lack of faith disturbing. That is a famous line. It was in the very first Star Wars movie that came out, and those of you that did not see it, it's actually number 4 movie, but that was the first one that they ever made. Darth Vader said that. "I find your lack of faith disturbing." That's what I thought of when I was reading all of the first 8 or 9 chapters of Mark. You see, Jesus, before he goes up the mountain, has a series of things happen that help him to decide that he needs to reveal himself more fully to these disciples. His words were, "Some people are ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation." Jesus was referring to people who had a lack of faith when he said that. "They are ashamed of me and they don't realize that the Son of Man will also be ashamed when he comes in his glory, in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. And he said to them, truly I tell you, there are some standing here who will not taste death until they see the kingdom of God has come with power. Why did he say those things? Because earlier in chapter 8, he told them that he would be betrayed. He told them that he would die at the hands of people who have a disturbing lack of faith. He told them that he wanted to offer them this hope and this assurance because their faith was going to waver. But they didn't understand what Jesus was saying. He followed this revelation of his coming death and resurrection with a challenge to his disciples. He told them to take up their cross and follow him. Clearly, that was like a sobering, shocking conversation that the disciples had, and they were dismayed and they were confused. And so Jesus decided it was time to offer them a word of hope. Jesus tells them, you know, I've been talking about this kingdom of God. Don't you worry. You are going to see the kingdom of God before you die. That was his hope. He wanted them to understand. And you too. You know, we all face difficult times in our lives. We're at a loss. We are unsure of what to do. And we suddenly come down with a disturbing lack of faith. Our faith is challenged in a myriad of ways. But the good news that Jesus offered to the disciples and offers to you is Jesus, God, the Holy Spirit are always going to be there in your life right when you need it with a glimpse, a hope that God will be with you in your time of need. And you know, we understand how to see the kingdom of God, but these disciples had no idea. When you share the love of God with another person, you see the kingdom. When you share from the bounty God has provided with you and lift up another person in their time of need, that's when we see the kingdom. We see that. We understand our work of building the kingdom. But these disciples did not understand that, and so it was for that reason that Jesus chose James, Peter, and John. They were going to be tested in ways that Jesus knew was really going to demonstrate they had a disturbing lack of faith. And he took them up on the mountain to show them that God had a plan for their lives. In the coming days, in the coming years, they were going to be instrumental in the birth of the church. They were going to be instrumental in making sure that you were sitting here today, still understanding and talking about God's love, God's power in the building of the kingdom. There are times when God allows us. None of us were there to see this transfiguration, were we? None of us have ever seen God in the way Peter, James, and John did. But there are times in our lives when God gives us a glimpse of that power and that love. And thank God for doing that. The Lord knows what we need exactly when we need it and delivers that to us, so that you can be the light in someone else's life, or when you have a time of need, you'll see the kingdom in another person who's reaching out to you. Right when we need it, God sends someone to empower us to continue the work of building the kingdom. I find your lack of faith disturbing. Darth Vader, the big villain, said that to an admiral who had just said, you know, what are you following that old religion about the Force for anyway? Didn't have faith, didn't believe. And Darth Vader reached out with his hand and force chokes this admiral. Jesus never force choked the disciples. But you know what he did say to them? He said, you know, your faith is so small, it's smaller than a mustard seed. And all throughout Mark, he keeps going back again and again and telling them, you got to have faith. You got to understand how this kingdom is being built. The transfiguration is really familiar to all of us and shows us this great truth. And Jesus wanted these men to be built up so that in times of challenge, when they were showing a disturbing lack of faith, that they would remember what the kingdom looked like, that they would remember the glory of God. We need those reminders in our lives too. And yesterday, we lost Joe Richardson. And that was a glimpse like no other that shows us what the kingdom of God is about. A person who shared God's love in every way possible. Among us, everywhere she was, her whole life. When our faith is tested, we look for those glimpses of God. Amen? Amen. And before I finish this series, I want to summarize one thing. Those of you who have never seen a Star Wars movie, you know a little bit more about it now. I hope I dragged you along as best I could. I'm sorry for this month, but I wanted to tell you why I love Star Wars so much. It is because each and every one of us can be a hero and make a difference in the world. That's what these movies were about for me. It's about how one person can turn a situation around. It's about how one person can share God's love. It's about how one person can be the presence of God to another. Those are the things, the glimpses of hope that as a kid, actually I wasn't a kid when those movies came out. I was in high school. But those are the things that drew me to, how many movies are we up to now? Like 11 or something? There's the ones that aren't part of the story too. That's what I'm talking about. I mean, and then the TV series and all these different things. I want you to remember that you can be a hero in someone's life in some way this week and every day of your life. Amen? Amen. We're going to stand together and sing our hymn of invitation. Please stand with us and let's sing together.
Be lifted up. Be lifted up as we bow down. Be lifted up. Be lifted.